We welcome back to the program and the studio our friend Sean Latch from the Verson Power Astronomy Center and the Maynard Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Welcome back.
Great to be back.
September's here, students back on campus, and everything running smoothly, right?
Yeah, right. It, of course, the first week on campus for students is always sort of a bit of a crazy time. Crazy good, though. I actually prefer having, you know, seeing the students on campus versus summer where it's just a little too quiet in some ways.
Oh, yeah. But a lot of things going on, and some special programs we're going to talk about in a bit. But let's look at the September schedule and things that are happening there for folks to check out, starting with the new Friday night show. Tell us about Star Dreaming.
Yeah, so Star Dreaming is a program that takes a look at Australian astronomy. So we'll take you down under, virtually at least, and show you a little bit about the Square Kilometer Array, which is one of the new radio projects down there. Also talk a little bit about Aboriginal astronomy and some of their star stories and legends. Their culture is one of the oldest in the world and has, you know, of course, star stories that date back even as far back as 60,000 years ago. So pretty amazing. But the program takes a look at that, and we'll share, of course, Maine's night sky too, and some of the things that we share in common. So there are some stars that we both share, like the ones in Orion and some of the things that we see in our southern sky. So we'll be sharing a bunch of that. So a really fun program.
Excellent. And then the Sunday afternoon show is Life of Trees.
Since it is September, we're going into fall, and leaves should be starting to change sometime this month. We figured we would bring back a family favorite, Life of Trees, which takes a look at trees in the environment. You join a quirky firefly and a beetle and get to learn all about trees and their importance to life here on Earth and our environment as well. And that's a really fun program for the whole family.
And the music shows in the month of September feature One Republic.
Bringing back the One Republic show as well. So that is a program we did about a couple years ago. Hard to believe time flies when you're having fun. but we've added a few new songs to it. And of course, it should be a really fun program. Some of their hits from their early albums and of course, even their modern ones, including the album Human.
You got a special program coming up on Tuesday the 13th. 10 o'clock in the morning, Polaris, Mystery of the Polar Night.
So since it is September, we start back our homeschool shows. So we offer a homeschool show the second Tuesday of every month and at 10 a.m. And so the one coming up again is going to be Polaris and the Mystery of Polar Night. It takes a look at ice here on Earth, how the length of day and night change in the seasons, which again, very appropriate as we move towards the fall equinox taking place on the 22nd of this month. So a really great program for families, too.
Sean Latch with us from the Verson Power Astronomy Center, the Jordan Planetarium. Well, everybody excited for what's coming up, hopefully on Saturday. The launch of the Artemis delayed from earlier in the week, but fingers crossed, knock on wood, it looks like all systems are go.
We are really hoping. So it is scheduled for launch Saturday afternoon. We're going to actually open our doors for a free event, for a free viewing. We did so Monday morning as well. First day of classes on campus, so that was a little bit wild. But we did have a few folks show up for it, of course, and then shortly after it got scrubbed. But we're hoping it will go on Saturday. So we're going to open doors at 1:15. Broadcast is going to begin around 1:30. And we have a full dome stream of it, so it will feel as close to being there as you can, anyway, from here in Maine for that event and taking a look at the Artemis, which, of course, is our return to the moon. And as mentioned a number of times before, Jessica Meir, of course, slated to be on one of those future crewed missions. This one is uncrewed. There will be a couple test mannequins inside that will be taking measurements. And the mission's actually a 40-day one. They're going to go around the moon, look at this orbit that they want to put something called the Gateway, which is a sort of a space station that is planned for the future in between Earth and the moon for long-haul missions to the moon and beyond, like to Mars. So they want to test that orbit and do a few other things. That SLS is incredible. It's 322 feet tall and puts out about 8.8 million pounds of thrust, which is really amazing. Now, by comparison, the Saturn V was a little taller. It was 363 feet tall. Last week, I was at a conference in Huntsville, Alabama, and actually got to see a full-size one of those up close again. I hadn't done so in many years, and it really does. It's like, wow, this was huge. Mm-hmm. And to think of, you know, the actual capsule portion where the astronauts was in was really this little tiny portion, and the rest of it's all rocket, you know. But the Saturn V was 363 feet tall, so a little taller, but only put out 7.5 million tons of thrust, which of course, doesn't sound all that much when you compare it to 8.8. But really the big thing, of course, with the new SLS is it has these two solid rocket boosters on the side. Each of those put out about 3.6 million apiece. And then the center is made of four RS-25 rocket engines, which put out the additional 2 million. So again, really incredible amount of thrust. And this thing can carry a payload package of about 60,000 pounds to the moon. Wow. So again, the former missions to the moon had typically a crew of three. This can carry a crew of probably about six plus year as well. So it will be a big change.
And I was reading the other day, too, that we're going to be looking at a whole new area of the moon when it comes time for an actual landing.
Yeah, of course, in the past, we landed in what are considered to be safe zones. They were trying to avoid rocks and boulders, looking for really flat, soft areas to land because, again, this is our first, attempts getting there. They're going to be exploring other options. And one of the whole reasons to have this gateway is that would provide ongoing communications even when you were on the far side of the moon. So there's some discussion of even exploring that, which is a much more cratered terrain than the near side, which we see, which is filled in with a lot of maria from, basically solidified lava flows, but the backside more heavily cratered. So they'll be able to explore the moon in greater detail, and including, there's talk of exploring some of the polar regions to take advantage of water resources there and water ice. So it should be really pretty cool. And again, hoping that it will be sort of, setting up for longer term missions to Mars and beyond is one of the reasons they want to go there and go back to the moon.
Well, as someone who grew up as a space kid watching all those launches in the 60s, I just know what it did for kids. I mean, everybody my age was so excited for every single launch, knew the names of all the astronauts. And I hope this program brings back that level of excitement because it's so important.
Yeah, me too. I hope it will really reinvigorate science and sort of the STEM fields, if you will. A lot of planetariums were built during the space race between, the former Soviet Union and the U.S. There was a time in a number of states' histories where if you built a new middle school or high school, you had to have a planetarium or a swimming pool. The reason for that, of course, astronauts trained using both in swimming pools and, of course, in planetariums. So, hopefully this will kind of reinvigorate folks looking towards space and space flight.
Well, the other thing that's so exciting, the remarkable images that continue to come in from the James Webb Space Telescope.
Yeah, they have really incredible stuff that's been released recently. This image of Jupiter showing the aurora just in stunning detail. Also, they released something just the other day. They now have, for folks who are vision impaired, they now have ways that you can listen to the image releases. So they've sonified some of these. Perfect for radio.
Yes. Well, I listened to the black hole. That was that was magnificent.
Yeah, so they now have sonifications of those the first five releases. So they're kind of eerie sounding. Yeah. In fact, part of me was thinking, maybe for our Halloween show we might have to think about using some of those kind of as some fun. But it's a great way, and also another way to again share it with folks who have a visual impairment and have to experience those images in a different way.
As for planets in the month of September, what can we see in the month ahead?
Jupiter and Saturn right now are up very early in the evening. You'll start off with Saturn, which is there at sunset. Jupiter is going to join you a little bit later in the evening, around 9 o'clock or so. And then if you're up really late, shortly around after midnight or so, Mars is going to come up. And we do still have Venus in our early morning sky, too. So there are some planets. Jupiter and Saturn, of course, are really spectacular in small backyard telescopes, which reminds me of another thing that is coming up. And there is this event called Stars Over Katahdin, which is the 17th of September. And basically, you do need to sign up in advance. But if you just look up Stars Over Katahdin in Google, you'll find it. But this is an annual event that they hold up there. It's a star party. And I'll be up there actually helping with that. We'll have telescopes. A variety of folks will be setting up telescopes, giving folks a chance to view through them. The daytime on Saturday, there'll be a variety of presentations. I'll be doing one on the JWST missions. There are several others about how to use telescopes, things like that. But that's Saturday, the 17th of September, up at Katahdin Woods and Waters, and which is was named an International Dark Sky Preserve back May, I think May, oh. just after the pandemic started. So it was in process for a while, but it's a really beautiful place to see the sky. Mm. And, you know, summer and early fall, best time of the year to see the Milky Way. So if you really want to see the Milky Way, if the weather is clear, come out and join us for that event. Oh, we also are opening up the Clark Telescope again now that it's getting dark early enough. Friday nights after our public show, the Clark will be open when the weather cooperates. So look at the night sky, too.
Nice. And again, this Saturday, if people want to come up, what time should they show?
Yeah, so for the Artemis launch, I would say get there around 1:15, between 1:15 and 1:30. The broadcast will start at 1:30. We'll open doors around 1:15.
Excellent. Sean, thank you. Great to see you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have a wonderful September, and we'll visit again in a month or so.
Sounds great.
Sean Latch with us from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine.